Lord, look at that smile.
I am so sorry. I was not where I was going.
Attention! Attention, girls!
Oh no, here she goes to stake. Get down from that chair.
All right, girls, listen up! By order of Prince Finn, registrations for the Moon Tournament are officially open. She-wolves from every kingdom can enter, and it doesn't matter whether you're noble or not.
So I still have a shot?
Woohoo!
For the love of the Moon Goddess, somebody do my hair right now!
4 trials, 1 royal ball, and in the end, the prince will claim his chosen one in front of the entire kingdom. But the last trial is a kiss.
While the maids celebrated, screamed, and dreamed of winning the heart of the most desired man in all of Valdenmor during the Royal Moon Tournament, Thessa felt the ground disappear beneath her feet. Because she couldn't let that happen. Not after spending her entire life by his side, hiding how she truly felt. Driven by desperation, she decided to do the one thing she had never had the courage to do. Go to the prince's chambers and finally confess her feelings. The problem? In the middle of all her nerves, she walked into the wrong room and ended up hiding behind the curtains of the most dangerous man in the kingdom, the Alpha King. And from that night on, her world turned completely upside down.
Some doors should never be opened. Some secrets should never be discovered. Some glances should be forbidden. Some feelings should remain hidden. Because some men should never fall in love. Especially me.
The sun hadn't even crossed the middle of the sky when Thessa stopped in the hallway that led to the training yard. She hadn't planned to stop. She was on her way to gather herbs near the castle walls, the same path she always took. And then she heard his voice, and her feet simply refused to keep moving. Finn stood in the center of the yard, a sword in his hand, and that familiar grin on his face, shouting orders at 2 royal wolf guards who circled around him without landing a single hit. He dodged both of them at once, spun around, and laughed loudly when one of them tripped over his own feet. "If you were enemy wolves, I'd already be dead, and you'd be celebrating." Finn tossed the sword into the air and caught it by the handle without even looking. Less muscle, more brains. One of the older guards passed by Thessa with an exhausted expression and muttered without stopping. "That's the 3rd time he's used that line today." Thessa almost smiled. Almost. She had known Finn since they were 8 years old. She had grown up hearing that laugh echo through the castle halls, watched him break 2 statues during a racing game, learned how to avoid the pranks he pulled on rainy days whenever he got bored. Finn was the only truly joyful thing in that castle. And for a very long time, he was the only person who treated her like she actually belonged there. "You've always liked him," her wolf said. "True," Thessa admitted to herself, and to the wolf that loved showing up at the worst possible moments. She had thought that so many times the sentence had practically lost its meaning. But she had never told him. Never even come close to telling him. Finn turned toward the hallway, not because of her, only to grab the towel hanging over the railing. And Thessa forced herself to start walking again before he noticed her standing there like an idiot. The right moment, she thought. One day, the right moment will come. So the Alpha King's council meeting was called after lunch. The grand hall was full, elders, nobles, counselors draped in heavy robes and even heavier expressions, all seated around the long, dark oak table, as if the weight of the entire kingdom were about to be dumped onto one single person. That person was Daxton. "Your Majesty," said the oldest counselor, Bernard, in the calm voice of a man who had rehearsed every word. "This is the 10th meeting this lunar cycle where the topic remains unchanged. The kingdom needs a queen. Our alliances with the northern kingdoms depend on a clear line of succession. The people need a Luna." Daxton sat at the head of the table, wearing the same expression he always wore in that hall. Closed off, neutral, completely unreadable. He let the counselors speak. Let the words land and slide off him like water against stone. When Bernard finished, Daxton answered with nothing that satisfied anyone. "The matter will be considered." "Your Majesty, it has already been considered for far too long." "Then it will be considered longer." The murmur that spread across the table was quiet, but unmistakably there. Finn, seated to his brother's right with the relaxed posture of someone watching an especially boring stage play, glanced around the room with the smile of a man about to do something he would absolutely regret, and who didn't care in the slightest. He stood up. "The problem is solved." Every eye in the room turned toward him. "I'll be the one getting married this year." The hall exploded into whispers. Bernard opened his mouth. Two counselors spoke at once. Finn calmly raised one hand, as though he had the entire speech prepared already, and waited for silence before continuing. "A tournament, open to she-wolves from every kingdom," he said, like he was proposing something perfectly reasonable. "With elimination trials to select the worthiest candidates. And in the end, a royal ball with the finalists, followed by the claiming right in front of the entire kingdom." Daxton slowly turned his head toward his brother. "You want a spectacle," he said quietly enough for everyone to still hear. "You want my help or not?" Finn replied, just as quietly, the grin never leaving his face. The king remained silent. Bernard had recovered enough to speak again. "With all due respect to the prince, tradition states that the king must marry first. And tradition also says poorly organized tournaments lead to weak alliances," Finn interrupted smoothly, without losing his easy tone. "Let mine be the test run. If it works, the king repeats the process next lunar cycle with everything already perfected. If it fails, we learn what not to do. Either way, the kingdom wins. We invite the northern kingdoms, strengthen alliances, and my brother gains time to choose a Luna while giving the people exactly the kind of spectacle they expect from a royal tournament." Finn winked at his brother, like he was genuinely enjoying himself. Silence followed as the counselors exchanged calculating looks. "Provided His Majesty formally agrees to undergo the same process next lunar cycle," Bernard finally said. Daxton looked at his brother. Finn faced forward now, looking at the counselors, but there was a subtle curve at the corner of his mouth that said everything he didn't need to say out loud. "I agree," Daxton said. Finn barely managed to hide his satisfaction. Thessa was in the kitchen when she heard what had happened during the meeting. She already knew the council meeting was important. She had heard the tension earlier that morning. Hurried footsteps, hushed voices, two counselors whose robes were so wrinkled they had obviously slept in them. It had nothing to do with her. It never did. She was a healer's daughter, living in the castle because of a promise the former Alpha King had made to her mother before he died. "Take care of my daughter." And in practice, that meant she had a room, food, and a place that never fully felt like hers. She wasn't a servant, wasn't a noble, wasn't anyone important. The other girls in the castle loved reminding her of that whenever they had the chance. The cook told one assistant, who told another, who spoke too loudly near the window. And within less than 2 minutes, what should have been gossip became complete chaos. One of the women appeared holding a scroll with a royal decree. She climbed onto a chair in the middle of the kitchen, banged a massive spoon against a pot, and shouted, "Attention! Attention, girls!" The entire kitchen burst into laughter. "Here she goes again. For the love of the moon goddess, get down from that chair. Just read it already." The woman dramatically cleared her throat, unrolled the scroll with exaggerated importance, and lifted her chin like a royal messenger. "By order of Prince Finn, registrations for the moon tournament are officially open." Whistles erupted through the kitchen. One of the assistants nearly dropped an entire tray of bread from excitement. "She-wolves from every kingdom may participate," she announced, lifting the scroll over her head. "And it doesn't matter whether you're noble or not." The kitchen exploded. "Woo! So I still have a chance. By the gods, someone brush my hair right now." Laughter echoed everywhere. One assistant clapped, while another dramatically pretended to faint onto the counter. 4 trials, 1 royal ball. And the prince will claim his chosen mate in front of the entire kingdom. 4 trials? Someone repeated curiously. "The first is human combat. Technique, strength, agility." A dramatic pause. "That one eliminates half of them immediately." Laughter, whistles. Someone slapped the wooden table. "The second is wolf form tracking. Instinct, speed, terrain awareness. They say that's the test that reveals how powerful a wolf truly is." "I like that one," one of the assistants said excitedly. "The third." The woman lowered her voice slightly, as though this was the serious part. "Is a political trial, a simulated situation in front of the full council. The candidate must make decisions, defend her position, prove she has the bearing of a Luna." The silence that followed felt different, heavier. "A lot of warrior wolves are going to fail that one," someone murmured. "And the fourth?" another girl asked. The answer took 1 second. Just one. And when it came with laughter. The kiss. The kitchen turned into complete chaos. Laughter, whistles, overlapping conversations. Regina, a beautiful young woman, turned red just hearing it. The cook started fanning herself dramatically, as if she needed air. The prince convinced the council to include a kissing trial. Of course he did. He's Finn. Thessa stood frozen in the middle of the kitchen, still holding the bowl in her hands, when she felt someone staring at her. Vilma. Of course it was Vilma, one of the ladies from the North Wing who possessed the very specific talent of appearing at the worst possible moments with the most irritating smile in the entire castle. She leaned against the kitchen doorway with her arms crossed, looking at Thessa with that fake friendly expression that was never actually friendly. "You're joining, right, Thessa?" she asked loudly enough for everyone to hear. Her smile never reached her eyes. A few women laughed quietly. Thessa placed the bowl down on the counter with a hard sound. She said nothing. She didn't need to. She simply turned around and walked out through the back door while the laughter still echoed behind her. She stood in the hallway for a long moment she couldn't measure. Years. She had spent years waiting for a moment that never came because she never had the courage for it. And now, suddenly, the moment had arrived. "You're entering," her wolf said firmly inside her mind. No room for negotiation. Then Thessa thought about the kissing trial. Because of course there was a kissing trial. It was Finn. But she had never kissed anyone in her entire life. Not because she lacked opportunities. She had plenty. She just never wanted to. She had always saved that for what she imagined would be one very specific moment, with one very specific person. With Finn. And now he was going to kiss every finalist in the tournament, and she couldn't walk into that trial without having practiced even once. The idea she had was simple. Almost elegant, actually. If she went to Finn right now, just the two of them, no tournament, no trials, no 300 she-wolves from different kingdoms, and simply told him how she felt. She wouldn't need to compete in anything at all. Straight to the point. Years of silence ending in a single moment of courage. Just say it. How many times have you rehearsed this conversation in your head? Too many. So go. She stopped in the hallway leading to the training yard. Finn was no longer there. She asked one of the guards where the prince had gone, and the guard told her he had returned to his chambers after training. His chambers. She had never gone up to that wing before. She paused at the main staircase, looked up, and felt her stomach tighten in a way that had absolutely nothing to do with bravery. The royal chambers were located in the eastern tower, past two guarded entrances, and down a corridor she had only walked through once in her life, when she was a child accompanying her mother. Back then, things were different. Her mother had been the king's healer, and could enter any wing of the castle without question. Thessa had only ever been the healer's daughter. But she had already made it this far. She wasn't turning back because of a staircase. She found a maid in the second wing's hallway, young, carrying a stack of folded clothes in her arms, and asked with as much casual confidence as she could gather, "Could you tell me where the prince's chambers are?" The maid looked at her, a quick assessing glance from head to toe. Then came a small smile Thessa couldn't quite interpret. "Second tower, hallway to the right, third door with the smaller crest banner," the maid said without obvious judgment, though her tone carried the unmistakable feeling that she'd given this information more than once. "But he usually leaves the window open if he's inside." Thessa thanked her and kept walking. The corridor in the second tower was darker than the rest of the castle, lit only by scattered torches that cast long shadows over the stone floor. The doors were larger there, made of heavier wood with wrought iron locks. Everything about the place clearly said, "Do not enter unless invited." She counted the doors. Second. Third. She stopped. There was no banner hanging on the door. She said third door with a banner. Thessa looked at the second door. Then the third. Then the fourth. None of them had banners. Maybe they'd been removed for cleaning. Or repairs. Or maybe the castle itself was simply too confusing for anyone with a normal sense of direction. My sense of direction has never been my strongest trait. "Your sense of direction is terrible because you never train in wolf form," her wolf said irritably inside her head. Thessa ignored the comment. She pushed open the third door. The room was dark, the curtains drawn. Large. Beautiful in a way she hadn't expected. Nothing colorful. Nothing out of place, no discarded objects scattered around. Everything was dark, ordered, heavy. "Damn it. Wrong room. Of course it's the wrong room." Then she heard it. Water. Footsteps. "Leave. Leave now." But she didn't move fast enough. Panic hit her. Irrational, overwhelming panic that made her glance around the room and choose the worst possible option. And she threw herself behind the curtains near the window. The curtains were thick and heavy. She stood there, frozen, heart pounding far too loudly, praying whoever was inside would leave quickly so she could escape unnoticed. She stopped breathing. Interesting hiding spot. That voice did not belong to Finn. It was deeper, colder, completely unhurried. Thessa felt the blood drain from her face. The curtains were pulled open in one sharp motion, and suddenly she was face to face with Daxton. Except Daxton was wearing nothing but a towel. Only a towel. His hair was still wet, droplets of water sliding down his shoulder. He looked at her with an expression she couldn't quite name. It wasn't anger. Wasn't surprise, either. It was something in between. One eyebrow slightly raised as if patiently waiting for an explanation. Then he smiled. Just barely. One corner of his mouth. "What are you doing here?" His voice was completely neutral, which somehow made the question even worse. Thessa opened her mouth, closed it, opened it again. "I thought this was the prince's room." "It isn't." "Yes, I can see that now." "Then why were you hiding behind the curtain?" Good question. Because I'm an idiot. She wanted the floor to crack open and swallow her whole, curtains included. I heard noise and panicked. Daxton crossed his arms. You do realize I can smell you from far away, he said. Ever since you entered this wing. She wanted to disappear. Heavens, I'm such an idiot. Of course he could smell her. First, he was a wolf. Second, he was an alpha. So you knew I was here? I did. And you still let me walk in here anyway. I went to take a bath. A pause. I wanted to see what you'd do. Thessa took a slow breath. Right. Fine. She was in the wrong room, had hidden behind a curtain like a 6-year-old child, and was now being stared at by the Alpha King of Valdenmore while he stood there in a towel, and she had absolutely no idea where to look. Her face burned all the way to her hairline, and she finally decided to just tell the truth, because the alternative was standing there stuttering until the end of time. I was going to confess to the prince, she blurted out, before the tournament. I thought if I told him how I felt before all this started, maybe I wouldn't have to compete. But I walked into the wrong room. Daxton fell silent. Not the awkward kind of silence, the kind that belonged to someone calmly processing something. Interesting, he finally said. I think everything makes much more sense now. I've hidden it for years, she admitted before she could stop herself. I never managed to tell him, and now I don't know what to do. Daxton watched her quietly for a moment. Then his gaze drifted away slightly, as though he were considering something she couldn't see. Thessa, he said slowly, this won't work. She lifted her eyes toward him. Finn organized this tournament because he likes attention. If you confess to him now, he won't accept it. It's not about what he feels. It's about how things need to happen for him. You'll have to participate. Pass the trials. Become one of the finalists. Only then can he claim you the way he'd want to. She knew he was right. She hated that he was right. And you think I actually stand a chance? Daxton looked at her. Of course you do, he thought, and immediately hated himself for thinking it. But he didn't say it aloud. He simply looked back at her and answered in the same neutral tone as always. Finn is complicated. She was going to accept that answer. She really was. But then she thought about the kissing trial again. The finalists, the unavoidable situation. And before she could stop herself, the words escaped her mouth as if they had a will of their own. Will you teach me how to kiss? Now he's absolutely certain you're a fool. Terrible timing for advice, Thessa snapped mentally at her wolf. The silence that followed felt different. Daxton slowly turned his head toward her. What? The kissing trial. Her face burned, but she didn't back down. If I get there without ever kissing anyone before, it'll be a disaster. I need practice, and you're the only man here I actually trust. You wouldn't tell anyone. You're asking me to teach me, that's all. Daxton remained silent long enough for her to regret every word she had just spoken. Then, slowly, he tilted his head slightly to the side. That sounds exactly like Finn, he muttered more to himself than to her. Of course one of the trials is kissing. What else should I expect from my brother? She almost smiled, but held it back. He stayed quiet for several more seconds before finally saying, with such carefully controlled coldness, that she couldn't tell whether it was rejection or consideration. I'll think about it. And then silence returned. But it felt different now. There was something in the air she couldn't quite identify, a tension that hadn't existed when she first hid behind that curtain. Or maybe it had been there from the very beginning, and only now she could finally feel it. That was when she realized how handsome he actually was. It wasn't the first time she had seen him. She saw Daxton nearly every day, for years now. But seeing him like this, water still clinging to his dark hair, arms crossed over his chest. There was something in every detail of him she had never allowed herself to truly notice before. Her stomach reacted in a way she strongly disapproved of. "Oh," she said louder than necessary. "I should go." Daxton inclined his head slightly, a small gesture that meant neither yes nor no. She left. She walked the entire corridor with the firm stride of someone who absolutely knew what she was doing, leaned against the cold stone wall once she was alone, closed her eyes, and pressed a hand over her chest. What in the moon goddess's name was that? What did I just ask him? This is officially the most embarrassing moment of my existence. "You were unbelievably ridiculous," Thessa's wolf grumbled inside her mind. She saw him in the hallway before mid-morning. Daxton walked in the opposite direction with two counselors struggling to keep up with his pace. He listened to them without looking at either of them, wearing that same expression as always, distant, unreadable, as though his mind existed somewhere else entirely. Thessa stepped closer to the wall to let them pass. He walked by her. Then, without slowing down, without fully turning his head toward her, he said, "After training, back weapons room," and kept walking. The counselors followed right behind him, without even realizing he had spoken to her. Thessa remained frozen in the hallway for a moment, watching his back disappear around the corner. So that's a yes. She wasn't entirely sure what she felt. Relief, probably. The back weapons room was located on the opposite side of the main courtyard. The door was heavy, made of iron and dark wood, with nothing on it to suggest what waited inside. She arrived exactly on time. "Push the door open." Daxton was already there. His back was turned toward her as he adjusted something on one of the wooden shelves, where swords and daggers were arranged with the kind of precision that looked like it required constant maintenance. He wore only his training pants, no tunic, nothing covering his shoulders. And Thessa had exactly 2 seconds to prepare herself before he turned around and she realized 2 seconds were nowhere near enough. "It's fine. Everything's fine. You've seen shirtless men before." "Not exactly like this," an extremely unhelpful voice whispered somewhere in the back of her mind. She ignored it. "Close the door," he said. She did. Daxton looked her up and down with that evaluating stare of his that carried nothing appreciative about it. It was clinical, calculated, the kind of look an experienced knight gives a recruit before deciding where to begin. "You want to become a finalist," he said. "Then we train everything." "Everything?" "The kiss won't matter if you fail the first trial." He grabbed 2 daggers from the shelf and tossed one toward her. She caught it by instinct. "I've seen you training in the courtyard. You're strong. But your technique is lacking." Thessa looked down at the dagger in her hand and then back at him. "You watched me train?" "I observe everyone who lives in my castle." A short pause. "Posture." She blinked. "What?" "Your posture is wrong. Your right shoulder is too high, and your weight distribution is uneven. You'll tire by the 3rd strike. He walked toward her without hurry, stopped beside her, and adjusted her shoulder with 2 fingers. A firm, impersonal touch that lasted less than a second. Like this. She still felt the warmth of his hand long after he had already pulled away. Focus. The training began. Daxton was demanding in a way that didn't require raising his voice to feel demanding, which Thessa discovered very quickly was somehow worse than yelling. He corrected her with short, direct observations, repeated whatever needed repeating without visible impatience. But every instruction carried enough weight to make it clear he expected her to get it right on the next attempt. "Elbow angle," she adjusted. "Your body weight moves with the strike, not against it." She tried again. "Better." "Better" was the highest praise she managed to get from him. Never good, never excellent. just better. As if his standards began where everyone else's ended. She learned quickly. She had always learned quickly. One of the very few things about herself she trusted without hesitation. And there was something satisfying about feeling her body respond differently after only half an hour with him, as though his corrections were fitting pieces back into places that had always been slightly wrong. The problem was that he wasn't wearing a shirt. Not that it should have been a problem. It wasn't. She simply needed to stop noticing it every time he moved, because he moved constantly, demonstrating, correcting, blocking. And there was an almost unfair fluidity to the way he moved when she was supposed to be concentrating on literally anything else. Thessa. She blinked. You were staring at the wall, he said flatly. I was thinking about the technique. He looked at her for 1 second. Come here, was all he said before returning to position. She obeyed. This time he stood closer while showing her the proper blocking angle, his arm nearly brushing against hers, and she felt the warmth radiating from him before they even touched. She noticed his scent too, something clean mixed with wood and cold air, and she had to consciously stop herself from turning her face toward him. You're here because of the prince. Because of the prince. Finn. Right. Finn. She was here because of Finn. They resumed sparring. The problem happened when he tried to demonstrate how to use body weight to throw an opponent off balance. She understood the instruction, copied the movement. And then something in her footing went wrong. Her foot slipped against the smooth stone floor, and suddenly her balance disappeared completely. She fell. He fell with her. Thessa crashed on top of him hard enough to knock the breath out of both of them, and for one suspended moment the entire world went silent. Only the echo of stone beneath them, the dark wooden beams high above, and Daxton's face just inches away from hers. Neither of them moved. She was lying on top of him, braced on her forearms, while he lay flat against the floor wearing that expression she could never fully read. Except something about it felt different now. It wasn't the usual calculated coldness. His eyes were dark, and fixed on hers. And she realized she had stopped breathing. Don't look at his mouth. She looked at his mouth. Daxton inhaled slowly. She felt his chest rise beneath her. And then he lifted his head slightly and kissed her. Her mind stopped working entirely. It was the first kiss of her life, and it lasted far less time than she expected. He pulled away before it could go too far, before she had time to figure out what to do with her hands or her breathing, or any part of her body at all. And when their lips separated, he said in a completely neutral voice, "You need to relax your jaw." Thessa stared at him. Her face was burning. Her ears, her neck. Probably even the roots of her hair. Daxton looked away toward the ceiling for a second, and when his gaze returned to her, there was something slightly different in his expression. Almost embarrassment. That was your first kissing lesson, he said. She got off the floor. He stood up too. Neither of them mentioned what had happened as they returned to their training positions. The days that followed turned into a routine in a way Thessa hadn't expected. Every afternoon, after the guards' training, back weapons room. 1 hour, sometimes more. Daxton always arrived before she did. He remained demanding, remained cold between one instruction and the next. Remained shirtless, which continued to be a problem she kept pretending wasn't a problem at all. But something was changing quietly between those sessions, without either of them ever mentioning it. The distance between them was shrinking. Not in any obvious way. It was subtle, almost invisible. He stood a little closer whenever he corrected her. She took 1 second longer before stepping away whenever their movements brought them near each other. Thessa walked into every session thinking about Finn. She walked out, thinking about Daxton. That started on the third afternoon and got worse by the fifth, and she knew exactly what was happening and refused to let it continue. You're here because of the prince. The king is helping you because you asked him to. Don't confuse things. She repeated that to herself every night on the way back to her chambers. It worked for a few hours. The day of the first trial arrived beneath a sky still painted in shades of iron gray. The arena stood in the open field behind the inner walls, a wide stretch of packed earth and short grass surrounded by stone stands where counselors, nobles, and part of the royal court were already seated by the time Thessa arrived among the other candidates. There were she-wolves from three different kingdoms. Some wore light armor and carried the kind of expression that suggested they had been born for this. Others looked younger, nervous, adjusting the straps of their boots for the fourth time. Thessa stood in the middle of the line and stared forward. Don't think. Just move. Her eyes found the stands before she meant them to. Daxton was there. Middle row, seated between two counselors, wearing that same unreadable expression. The kind that never revealed anything to anyone. He wasn't looking at her. Finn sat several rows above him, leaning back with the posture of someone who had come solely to enjoy himself and saw absolutely no reason to pretend otherwise. He said something to the man beside him and started laughing before he even finished the sentence. The signal sounded. The structure of the trial was simple. Its execution was brutal. Human form combat. One against one. Direct elimination. Technique, agility, strength. No shifting, no wolf instincts. Just the body and whatever the body knew how to do. Thessa entered the first round against a she-wolf from the Northern Kingdom. Taller, long-armed, with enough reach to force caution. The opening exchanges were measured, both of them testing, reading, calculating without committing too much weight too early. Then the Northern Wolf lunged hard. And Thessa used exactly what Daxton had corrected for the fifth time inside the weapons room. Body weight moving with the strike instead of against it, shoulder lowered, the sidestep that unbalanced an opponent without relying on brute force. The Northern Wolf hit the ground. Silence lasted for 1 second. Then the murmurs began in the stands. She's improved. That was what Thessa heard between rounds, hidden inside voices that weren't trying very hard to stay discreet. She improved a lot. Do you know her? She's the girl who lives in the castle, the healer's daughter. Look at her technique. She advanced to the second round, then the third. With every elimination, the whispers grew louder. Two counselors leaned toward one another in the stands. One of the court ladies stopped talking entirely and finally started paying real attention. Thessa never looked toward the stands. She looked ahead. But in the final round, when the signal sounded to end the trial and her name was announced among the favorites, she couldn't help herself. Her eyes went straight to Daxton. He was already looking at her. There was no doubt this time. His gaze stayed fixed on her with that same heavy calm he carried in everything he did. Nothing about his expression changed, but he was looking. Several rows above, Finn had stopped laughing. He was watching her too, with an expression she had never seen on his face before. It wasn't his usual careless grin, nor his normal distracted amusement. It was something sharper, more attentive, as though he were finally noticing someone who had been standing in front of him the entire time. Good, she thought. And then she thought about Daxton again, and immediately became irritated with herself for it. That same night, a maid knocked on her bedroom door after dinner, handed her a folded piece of paper without a word, and left before Thessa could ask who had sent it. She unfolded it. The handwriting was firm. No decorative flourishes, none of the elaborate loops nobles loved using in formal correspondence. Straight to the point. Just like everything that came from him. Congratulations on winning the first trial and becoming one of the favorites. Now we train for the second. No signature. She didn't need one. She stared at the paper for longer than necessary before folding it carefully and slipping it beneath her pillow for no particular reason at all. He took her into the forest the following day at sunset. The sun hung low by the time they reached the tree line, casting amber and copper light over everything around them. Daxton carried two folded blankets beneath one arm and the entire route already mapped inside his head. He had chosen the section of forest connected to the terrain that would be used during the trial, dense enough to be a real challenge without becoming impossible for her to learn in time. Then they shifted. The training focused on terrain tracking, memorizing paths, sensing the marks the forest left behind, developing the kind of navigational instinct that separated a trained she-wolf from an ordinary one. The problem was that Thessa's sense of direction had historically been one of her weakest traits. She knew it. She was good at combat, good at healing, good at reading and writing. But placing herself inside a mental map while moving at full speed was a skill that had simply never awakened in her the way it did in other wolves. The forest grew denser around them. The sun disappeared completely behind the trees. She followed what she thought was the correct trail back, turned where she believed she should turn, and then stopped in the middle of a stretch of forest she didn't recognize at all. No. She sniffed the air, turned right, then left. No. No. She heard the stream before she saw it, and followed the sound because it was the only point of reference she had left. She emerged onto a bank of smooth stones where cold, shallow water flowed between the roots of ancient trees. Daxton was already there. Back in human form, one blanket tied around his waist and another draped over his hands, leaning casually against one of the trees with the patience of someone who had arrived long before her and never once felt rushed while waiting. Without a word, he held the blanket out toward her. Thessa took it, embarrassed in a way that deeply irritated her. She was a wolf. Shifting was natural. There was absolutely nothing about the situation that should have made heat rise into her face. And she wrapped herself quickly before turning back toward him. "You need to improve this," he said. "You can't get lost that easily. You're a wolf. Memorizing places and tracking terrain has never exactly been my strength," she admitted while tying the blanket tighter than necessary. "I noticed," he said, "when you walked into my room instead of my brother's." She lifted her eyes toward him. There was something in his tone she couldn't fully define. It wasn't mockery. It was drier than that, more direct. But there was the faintest glimmer in his eyes betraying that, in his own restrained and highly specific way, he was amused. "You barely practiced kissing with me," she shot back. "You seem very concerned about the kissing trial." "It's because I'm afraid he won't like it." Daxton fell silent for a moment. He looked toward the stream. And when his eyes returned to hers, his expression had settled back into its usual place. Neutral, closed off. But there was something different in his voice when he spoke. "He'll like your kiss." Embarrassment hit her harder than she expected. Why did he say it like that? Why did his voice sound different during that sentence? He stepped closer. Slowly. With that same heavy calmness he carried in every movement, as though the entire world could wait while he decided what to do next. She didn't step back. She remained standing there at the edge of the stream, with the blanket wrapped around her shoulders and her heart beating in a rhythm that felt anything but calm. Then he kissed her. This time there was no stone floor, no fall, no accident serving as an excuse. It was simply him choosing to move closer, and her allowing it. The kiss began slowly, different from the others, carrying an intention that made her forget for one full second where she was and why she had followed him into the forest in the first place. She felt the moment the kiss changed. It happened gradually, his hand finding the side of her face, his lips pressing deeper, and her responding without thinking because her entire body had decided before her mind even had the chance to speak. There was something in him she felt in a way that left her completely without words. A warmth that wasn't just physical contact. And then she realized. He stopped. Pulled away with the same deliberate control he had approached with, breathing slightly differently now, his eyes fixed on her with an expression she couldn't read fast enough before he looked away. "That's enough," he said. "But I was just starting to enjoy it," she blurted out. "I cannot believe I just said that." Thessa internally panicked. Daxton stood still for 1 second. Something tightened in his jaw. A small, restrained tension. The kind he controlled before it could fully surface. "Come on," he said, his voice a little too neutral to sound completely natural. "Let's go find our clothes." She followed him through the forest in silence. For the next 2 days, Daxton disappeared. Not literally. She still saw him in the hallways sometimes from a distance, always surrounded by counselors or guards, always moving with the pace of someone carrying 12 problems and enough time to solve maybe 8 of them. But the weapons room stayed empty during the afternoon she passed by. No notes arrived. She didn't go looking for him. "He's busy. He's a king. He has an entire kingdom to rule, and you were an unnecessary distraction in the middle of all of it." She repeated that to herself while sorting herbs in her room on the first night. Repeated it while sewing a tear in one of her blouses on the second afternoon. Repeated it over and over until the words stopped meaning anything at all. But she missed him. And that was the problem. She missed the afternoons in the weapons room. His voice correcting her posture. The silences that no longer felt uncomfortable. The way he looked at her whenever she got something right. Never excessive praise. Just that faint shift in his eyes that somehow felt more satisfying than any compliment ever could. "Stop it. You're here because of the prince." On the opposite side of the castle, inside one of the smaller offices Daxton used for quick meetings, Counselor Bernard placed a stack of papers onto the desk with the weight of a man about to say something he had held back for far too long. "Your Majesty is spending far too much time on unnecessary matters," he said carefully, choosing his words with precision, while still making sure they landed properly. "The tournament requires your presence and your decisions. The kingdom requires more attention than it has received this week." Daxton signed the document in front of him without lifting his eyes. "It's for a good cause," he said. Bernard remained silent for a moment. "As your Majesty wishes," he finally replied, and didn't mention the matter again. Daxton finished signing the papers, dismissed the counselor, and remained alone in the office far longer than necessary. He thought about the forest, the edge of the stream, the way she had stood there looking at him after he pulled away, not angry, not confused, but wearing that small smile she probably thought he hadn't noticed. He had noticed. "It's for a good cause," he had said. And it was. The problem was that the cause had quietly changed somewhere between the bedroom curtain and the edge of a forest stream, and he still hadn't decided what to do about that. The morning of the second trial arrived beneath a veil of low fog. Thessa stood at the entrance to the stands, staring at the forest ahead. The same section where she had trained, yet completely different now, with tournament banners planted along the edge of the trees, and the weight of the entire council's attention pressing down on every candidate who crossed that line. 8 she-wolves remained after the first trial. Only 4 would advance. She took a deep breath and stepped into line. Mokwiamantagshdai, the stone stands were packed. Daxton arrived without ceremony and took his usual seat, center row, middle section, 2 counselors seated on either side of him speaking to each other without realizing he wasn't listening to a word they said. His eyes went straight to the line of candidates before he had even fully sat down. He found Thessa in the 3rd position. She was staring toward the forest with that focused expression he had learned to recognize during the afternoons in the weapons room. It wasn't fear. It was concentration. It was her gathering every piece of herself before she needed to use it. "You know what to do," he thought. "You trained for this." The signal sounded. The she-wolves entered the forest. The first few minutes went well. Thessa followed the trail carefully, memorizing every turn, every mark carved into tree trunks, every subtle shift in the texture of the earth beneath her paws. The training was there, She could feel it inside her wolf instincts. She was on the right path. Then the fog thickened. There had been no fog during training. The entire section of forest changed with the light swallowed away and the scents blurred together by moisture. She lost her point of reference before she even realized she had lost it. She turned right. Hesitated. Not that way. She stopped so abruptly her front paws slid against the wet leaves. That wasn't her wolf's voice. Conveniently, her wolf had chosen not to appear and help her in that particular moment. "You're going the wrong way. Turn left." The voice wasn't external. It was truly inside her head. Clear, direct, unmistakable. "How are you inside my head?" "I'm an alpha." A short pause, as if he were carefully choosing his words. "Of course I am, but I'm only here to guide you. I can't see all your thoughts. I can't reach everything unless you allow it. I do not want you reading my thoughts. I do not want to read your thoughts." Another pause. "Turn left, Thessa." She turned left. The path opened in front of her, familiar, recognizable, exactly the stretch she had memorized during training. The fog remained, but her instincts returned together with the proper direction, and she ran without hesitation until she crossed the finish line. Her name was announced among the four finalists. She emerged from the forest already back in human form, accepted the blanket, one of the tournament assistants offered each candidate, and lifted her eyes toward the stands without planning to. Daxton was looking at her. Ba Nainit Men, she found him in the hallway before dinner. He was walking in the opposite direction, alone this time, without counselors trailing behind him. "You entered my head," she said immediately. "You were about to lose," he replied, with the same calmness someone might use to comment on the weather. "Focus on the next trial, not on this." "That's not fair." "It's what alphas do." She crossed her arms. "Are you inside my head right now?" He tilted his head slightly, eyes fixed on hers. "Are you afraid of what I might see in there?" Her tone came out colder than she intended. He didn't blink. "Don't worry," he said. "I'm not going to spy on what you think about my brother. In wolf form, I can reach you. In human form, it would only be possible if there were a deeper bond between us." She inhaled slowly. A deeper bond. She had no idea what to do with that sentence, so she let it pass. "Focus on the third trial," he continued, ending the conversation with the effortless ease of someone who had already moved on to the next subject, before she had even finished processing the previous one. "We need to study. Politics, alliances, council structure. That's what the trial requires." "Come to the library later tonight," he said. She nodded. He was already turning away when he added, without looking back, "Not the library, you know. My private one." Then he continued down the hallway without waiting for an answer. The King's Library was located in a wing of the castle Thessa had never entered before. The door was tall, dark wood reinforced with wrought iron edges, and when Daxton opened it, the scent that drifted out was old paper, candle wax, and something she couldn't quite name. Dense, ancient, the kind of smell that belonged to places where important decisions had been made for centuries. The shelves stretched from floor to ceiling. Folded maps. Sealed documents. Leather-bound volumes titled in Latin and in the languages of neighboring kingdoms. A large table stood at the center of the room with two chairs and an iron candelabra already lit before they entered. Thessa remained standing near the entrance for a moment. "This is unfair to the other candidates," she said. Daxton was already pulling one of the volumes from the shelf. "The world isn't fair," he replied without looking at her. "Do you want to win or not?" "I don't even know what I want anymore." The thought passed through her too quickly to stop. She said nothing. Only stepped inside and sat down in the chair across from him. They stayed there for 2 hours. Daxton explained things with the same objectivity he used when correcting her posture in the weapons room. Direct, without embellishment, but with a clarity that made everything surprisingly easy to understand. The Northern Alliances, the Council's voting structure, the decision-making protocols the third trial would simulate. She listened, asked questions, and he answered without impatience, occasionally unfolding a map to show what words alone could not fully explain. The tension arrived slowly. There wasn't one exact moment when it began. It accumulated in the pauses between explanations, in the way they gradually leaned over the same map without noticing, in the distance between them shrinking without either of them intentionally moving closer. Daxton was explaining the border territories when she stopped listening to the actual content of what he was saying. She was listening to his voice instead. The tone. The way the words left him. Controlled. But carrying a warmth that surfaced whenever he stopped paying attention to his own restraint. Her hand moved toward his face. He caught her wrist in midair. Both of them froze. Daxton's hand wrapped firmly around her wrist, not painfully, but restraining. And there was something in the way he held her that revealed the gesture had cost him something. "No," he said. "Why?" she asked, her voice quieter than she intended. "Don't you want to practice kissing?" He inhaled deeply. His chest rose and fell once, slowly. "I'm about to lose control with you." The silence afterward carried weight. Thessa stared at him, at the dark eyes fixed on hers, the tension in his jaw, the hand still holding her wrist without letting go. "That's enough pretending this is about a trial," he said, voice low and firm. "Enough practicing kisses. You're mine." He pulled her by the waist and kissed her. And this time, there was no calculated retreat, no technical instruction. It was simply him stripped of every layer he carried the rest of the time. And her, without any of the arguments she had spent entire weeks using to convince herself she was doing all of this for someone else. The kiss heated quickly. The papers forgotten on the table, the candelabra throwing long shadows across the shelves. She curled her fingers into the collar of his tunic without thinking, and he deepened the kiss in response. There was something there she couldn't name, but recognized as real in a way that terrified her without making her pull away. Then he stopped. Not completely. He remained close, forehead near hers, breathing differently now. "Are you absolutely certain," he asked, voice rougher than before, "that it's my brother you want?" She didn't need to think. "No," she whispered. "I want you." He kissed her again. And this time it was slower, more deliberate, as though he were making a decision with every passing second. And the decision was her. Three knocks sounded at the door. They separated instantly. Thessa stepped back twice. Daxton turned toward the table and began reorganizing the papers with a calmness that very obviously required effort. She fixed her hair, straightened herself, and stared down at the map as if she had memorized the entire thing perfectly. The door opened. Finn entered wearing his usual easy smile and paused for 1 second when he saw them. His eyes swept across the room. The table, the papers. The two of them standing far enough apart and looking composed enough to feel slightly unnatural. His smile shifted. It didn't disappear. It simply became sharper. "Am I interrupting something?" he asked. "I was helping Lady Thessa prepare for the third trial," Daxton replied without lifting his eyes from the papers. "Hmm." Finn looked at Thessa, then at his brother, then back at Thessa again. "That's cheating, brother." "Finn." "But I don't mind." He tilted his head toward her, smile still in place. "Good luck, Lady Thessa." She left before anyone could say anything else. Aim the hallway was cold. Thessa walked quickly, her thoughts moving even faster than her feet, and only stopped when she reached the corridor leading toward her chambers. She stood there for a moment. I want you. She had said it. She had truly said it, with certainty, without hesitation. And she had felt his hand at her waist as though it belonged there, and the kiss as though it were the most honest thing she had done in weeks. And now what? She was still in the tournament. There was still another trial. Still a royal ball where Finn would choose one of the finalists. And she had entered all of this because of Finn. Because of years of hidden feelings. Because of a confession she had never made. Because of a door that had once felt like her last opportunity. But I want you. She turned toward her chambers and forced herself to stop thinking. No. Stop. Quitting now without speaking to him made no sense. She needed to go back. Needed to speak to him properly. Without tournaments, without trials, without his brother standing at the door. She needed to understand what had happened inside that library, and what happened now. She turned back toward the royal chambers. And the eastern tower corridor was nearly empty at that hour. Thessa rounded the final corner and stopped. Daxton's chamber door stood partially open. And in front of it, one hand resting against the heavy wood, stood a woman Thessa recognized from the beginning of the tournament. Lady Vanessa, dark-haired, carrying herself with the confidence of someone born knowing exactly how to walk into a room and make everyone look at her. Vanessa pushed the door open and stepped inside. The door closed behind her. Thessa remained frozen in the hallway. It's fine. It could be anything. Tournament business, maybe. But the door didn't open again. She waited. Seconds passed, then a minute, then another. The door remained shut. Something tightened painfully inside her chest. Not anger, worse than anger. It felt like realizing she had built an entire future on top of ground that had never truly existed. Of course, he was never going to want something serious with me. What was I thinking? A tear slipped down before she could stop it. She wiped it away quickly with the back of her fingers, still staring at the door, as if it might somehow answer the questions spinning inside her head. Footsteps echoed through the corridor. Two counselors rounded the corner mid-conversation, speaking with the animated tone of men who had just heard wonderful news. "Looks like the king is finally going to choose his Luna. We won't have to wait another year," one of them said without noticing Thessa standing there. The prince passed Lady Vanessa on to his brother. Seems the king is interested in her. "Two claimings in the same year," the other replied, sounding delighted. "I think we're about to have a very interesting ball." They walked past her and disappeared around the next corner. Thessa didn't move for 3 entire seconds. Then she left. She didn't walk. She ran. Down the corridor, down the staircase, across the eastern wing without looking at anyone, and only stopped once her bedroom door slammed shut behind her. She sat on the edge of the bed and cried in a way that had absolutely nothing discreet about it, chest tight, throat aching, the words repeating in her head over and over like a bell that refused to stop ringing. The prince passed Lady Vanessa on to his brother. The king is interested in her. She had said, "I want you," while he already knew he was going to discard her and choose someone else. What was I thinking? She stared at the ceiling until the tears finally dried. Then she stood up, washed her face in the basin of cold water, and made the only decision that still made sense. She was going to finish that tournament. Not for Finn. Not for Daxton. For herself. Because she had made it this far. She had trained. She had grown stronger. And nobody was going to take that away from her. Vanessa left the king's chambers looking like someone who had just had a door slammed in her face without ceremony. The hallway was empty. Thessa had gone long before that. Daxton left his chambers later than usual. He had dismissed Vanessa with fewer words than basic politeness required. He had no patience for any of it. No patience for anything that night except finding Thessa. That kiss in the library had been different from everything that came before it. It wasn't training, wasn't practice, wasn't any of the excuses the two of them had spent weeks using to explain what had been growing between them. It was her saying, "I want you," in that direct, honest voice she used whenever she stopped hiding. And it was him realizing, in that exact moment, that he had already made a decision without ever needing to think about it. He wanted her. Wanted to make it official. Wanted to talk to her. Needed to talk to her. Explain everything he intended to do. He searched for her through the corridors. He caught her scent in the eastern wing. Recent, she had been there. But the trail vanished before leading anywhere useful. She probably went back to her chambers, he thought. Instead, she had disappeared with an efficiency he almost unwillingly admired. He returned to his own chambers. "She'll appear tomorrow. I'll speak to her tomorrow." Indeed, but Thessa never appeared. Not the following morning. Not in the hallways. Not in any of the places where he had learned she usually spent time. She had somehow become invisible inside her own castle with a skill she had clearly perfected over years. Years he now realized he had wasted watching her from a distance instead of getting closer. "She's avoiding me." He wasn't used to that feeling. Not anger. Anger he understood very well. This was something else. It was not understanding. And he understood almost everything about almost everyone inside that castle. "What are you doing, Thessa? I need to talk to you." That night in the library had been real. He was certain of it. He had felt it in the way she responded to his kiss, in the way her voice sounded when she said, "I want you," without hesitation, without retreating. She was not a woman capable of fooling an alpha at close range. So what had changed between the library and now? "She's avoiding me as if none of it happened." He turned down another corridor, checked the inner garden, checked the kitchens. Nothing. "I cannot believe she's actually doing this." And the day of the third trial arrived before he managed to speak with her. Thutwer and Nathan of the trial took place in the council courtyard, open air, with stone stands arranged in a semicircle around a central platform where each candidate would individually face a simulated political situation before the entire court. Daxton arrived early, took his usual seat. Then he saw Thessa enter among the finalists. His jaw tightened instantly. She was there, posture straight, eyes forward, wearing an expression he recognized immediately because he had seen it countless times during their afternoons in the weapons room. Focused, contained, gathering every part of herself before needing to use it. She didn't look toward the stands, didn't look at him. "What are you doing here?" he thought. As though she could hear him, and he knew she couldn't, not in human form, she lifted her chin one fraction higher and kept staring toward the platform ahead. He became furious in the quietest, most complete way possible. The trial began. The first candidates were called one by one. The simulated situation was complicated. A border dispute between allied territories, with the council demanding a solution that satisfied both sides without damaging any existing alliances. Two of the warrior wolves who had dominated the earlier trials failed here, giving answers that were either too technical or too emotional, lacking the balance the position required. When Thessa's name was called, Daxton stopped breathing for 1 second. She stepped onto the platform with steady confidence. Faced the council without shrinking. Bernard presented the situation. The other counselors crossed their arms, wearing the expressions of men who had already decided this would end badly before hearing a single answer. Thessa listened without interrupting. Then she spoke. And in that moment, Daxton realized he had underestimated one thing about her. Not her intelligence. He had never underestimated that. He had underestimated how much she had absorbed over the years living inside that castle beside a mother who moved through the center of every important decision in the kingdom. Every alliance mentioned. Every protocol. Every territory name. She knew them. Not in the academic way of someone who had studied them from books, but in the organic way of someone who had grown up hearing those conversations all her life. Her answer was balanced, direct, and politically flawless. The silence afterward felt different from the silences that had followed the other candidates. At least he was useful for something, she had probably thought. Daxton didn't need access to her mind to imagine that. But he knew what had happened on that platform wasn't only what he had taught her in the library. It was entirely her. Bernard leaned toward the counselor beside him and whispered something quietly. The other man nodded. Several rows above, Finn had stopped lounging carelessly against the stone with his usual relaxed posture. Now he sat upright, elbows resting on his knees, eyes fixed on Thessa with an expression Daxton had never seen on his brother before. It wasn't Finn's usual shallow interest in every beautiful woman who crossed his path. It was something else. Something more serious. More attentive. Daxton felt something tighten painfully inside his chest. No candidate was eliminated during the third trial, but Thessa's name was announced as the favorite in that category. She stepped down from the platform without looking toward the stands and walked straight toward the side exit before the announcement had even finished echoing across the courtyard. Daxton stood immediately. "Your Majesty," Bernard appeared beside him before he could take a second step. "We need to discuss arrangements for the ball." "There are details that..." "Later. Your Majesty, the event is in 2 days and we still haven't confirmed..." "Later, Bernard." Too late. The side exit was already empty. She had vanished again with that same infuriating efficiency. And now 3 counselors surrounded him while Finn descended from the stands with his grin back in place. That grin Daxton knew well enough to recognize as trouble before a single word was spoken. "Enjoy the visit," Finn asked, stopping beside him with his hands clasped behind his back. Daxton looked at him. "What visit?" "Lady Vanessa." Finn raised an eyebrow. "She went to your chambers last night. I thought you'd appreciate the initiative. I dismissed her." Finn's smile faltered for the first time. "You dismissed her." "That's what I said." "But you weren't..." Finn closed his eyes for half a second. "I thought it was her." "You said there was one of the candidates you were interested in. You asked if I could dismiss her from the tournament." "You misunderstood everything," Daxton said. The memory returned with the sharp clarity of things that mattered. It had happened that same night in the library, after Thessa had hurried out and the prince had remained behind with that smile that always knew more than it pretended to. Daxton had waited until the sound of her footsteps disappeared into the corridor before speaking. "There's one of the candidates," he had said quietly. "If it's not a problem for you, if you could dismiss her before the ball." Finn had raised his eyebrows, his grin widening instantly. "Of course it's not a problem. Which one?" But before Daxton could answer, the door had opened. Bernard and another counselor entered without knocking, papers in hand, and carrying that particular urgency counselors always seemed to have whenever they wanted something decided before the king changed his mind. "So that means we'll have 2 claimings," Bernard had said after overhearing just enough to reach the conclusion he wanted. And Daxton had confirmed it. Yes, 2 claimings. Because that had been exactly what he intended. But he had also added that he needed to speak with her first. That they should prepare everything. The problem was that Finn had left that room without hearing the name. And Vanessa had already told the prince days earlier that she preferred the king over the entire tournament. So when Finn received the incomplete message, the name that naturally filled the empty space was the only one that made sense to him. As for Thessa, Finn believed his brother was simply helping a candidate who was interested in him, the prince. And honestly, he respected that. A woman willing to do whatever was necessary to reach what she wanted deserved admiration. The problem was that Finn still didn't know that this exact woman was the one his brother wanted. "It wasn't Vanessa," Daxton said once again in the present, his voice completely flat. Finn stared at him for a moment. "Then who is it?" Daxton didn't answer immediately. He looked at his brother. at the face he had known for as long as he could remember, and wondered how Finn still hadn't figured it out. Then he remembered the way Finn had watched Thessa during the trial, sitting upright with that expression, unlike any he had worn before, and decided that conversation needed to happen when they were alone. Without counselors. Without interruptions. Finn was already opening his mouth, wearing the expression of someone who was arriving at the answer on his own, someone about to say, "Don't tell me it's the..." when Bernard appeared down the corridor with two other counselors behind him, papers in hand, and that same relentless urgency that never accepted waiting. The conversation was swallowed before it could finish. Daxton let the counselors speak. He answered whenever necessary, but his mind remained somewhere else entirely. He searched for her 3 times that day. 3 times the corridor stood empty where she should have been. 3 times her scent trail led to places she had abandoned only minutes earlier. And the Great Hall of Valdenmor had been transformed. Torches burned in every iron sconce, white wildflowers decorated the long tables, and the stone floor was covered with dark rugs that muffled footsteps and gave the room a solemn weight fitting for the occasion. The entire court was there. Counselors, nobles, visitors from neighboring kingdoms, guards standing at every entrance with polished armor and the serious expressions reserved for important days. Thessa entered alongside the 4 finalists. She had gotten ready alone. No assistants, no maids, none of the court ladies who had spent the entire afternoon fluttering excitedly through the corridors. She wasn't there to impress anyone. She was there only to finish what she had started. The entire hall turned as the finalists entered. She stared straight ahead, toward the center of the hall, toward anything except the stands, or the curious faces, or Daxton. He stood beside the throne wearing a dark tunic, carrying that effortless posture that seemed to dominate the space around him without trying. And he was looking at her. It wasn't his usual unreadable stare. It was something else entirely. Fury and sadness tangled together in a way she had never seen on his face before, and it made her want to look away immediately. So she did. He looks like that because his pride is hurt. Because I kept going after everything. She believed that for exactly 2 seconds. Then she spotted Vanessa standing along one side of the hall, beautiful as always, and anger rose inside Thessa's chest with an intensity that startled even her. "Breathe. You're here to finish this." Across the hall, Daxton hadn't taken his eyes off her since the moment she entered. "What are you doing, Thessa?" She had lowered her gaze when their eyes met, quickly, deliberately, as if holding his gaze any longer would become dangerous. And that cost him something he refused to name in public. "Don't make me do something reckless here." Andamer Gidag Finn appeared beside Thessa before the music could fully drown out the sound of conversations around them. He wore his usual smile, but there was something different about him that night, a steadier attention, less superficial. He offered his hand with the same irresistible ease he had always carried, and she accepted it. Finn danced well, with the effortless grace of someone who made everything look easy. And for a few minutes she understood, from somewhere distant and faintly sad, why she had held on to those feelings for so long. He was easy to love. He always had been. "You impressed me, Thessa," he said with a sincerity she hadn't expected from him. "Honestly. You don't have to. I'm not being polite. I'm being honest." He guided her through a turn before continuing. "I've known you since we were children. I always saw you as a friend. But during the trials, the way you handled yourself, the way you thought through things, answered the council." He shook his head slightly. "I've never seen you like that before." She didn't know what to say. "You know," he said, lowering his voice slightly with that rare tone that surfaced whenever he stopped performing and simply spoke, "I always thought I'd be too little for you. You're too intelligent, Thessa." "You always were. I never imagined you'd enter something like this, go through all these trials, because of me. A pause. I'm honored. Truly. Heat rose to her face too quickly to hide. Across the hall, Daxton had stopped hearing whatever the counselor beside him was saying. His eyes were fixed on the dance floor, on Finn leaning closer toward Thessa with that smile, on Thessa blushing, and something tightened painfully inside his chest. Actually, Finn said suddenly, so casually it sounded like the thought escaped before he could stop it, I always thought my brother was more your type. Thessa turned so red it stopped being embarrassing and somehow became funny. Finn laughed quietly. Thessa, he said, recovering his composure with that infuriating ease he possessed. One of the conditions is the kiss. Do you want me to kiss you? She looked at him. Yes, she answered. Because lately, she and her wolf seemed strangely distant from one another. Apparently, her wolf had decided to completely ignore Daxton's questionable personality and focus solely on the ridiculous instinctive pull it felt toward him. Finn leaned closer. The air stopped moving. With all due respect, brother, the voice came from nearby, deep, perfectly calm, and the entire hall seemed to hold its breath alongside her. Daxton stood beside them. May I have the honor of dancing with her? Finn slowly straightened, looked at his brother, looked at Thessa. Then the smile that appeared was completely different from every other smile he had worn that night. The smile of someone who had finally understood something he should have realized much sooner. Ah, he said with undisguised satisfaction. Now I understand. Why didn't you say something earlier? Finn, Daxton said quietly but firmly, don't make this worse. We're already drawing enough attention. I don't want to dance with you, Thessa said. Be a good girl, Thessa, Finn replied, still smiling. Dance with my brother. She glanced around. Half the hall was watching, refusing him there, in the middle of the ballroom with everyone's attention focused on the three of them, would create exactly the kind of scandal she had no energy left to survive that night. She had no choice. Daxton offered his hand. She took it without looking at him. Afan, the music was slow. He guided her with the same certainty he carried into everything. No hesitation, no room for doubt, and she let her body follow while keeping her eyes fixed somewhere above his shoulder. You're squeezing my wrist, she said. What exactly did you think I was going to do? His voice was too low to sound angry, but something was there. The kiss is the final trial, she replied. Or did you forget? He let out a short laugh, not amused, but something she couldn't fully name. Thessa, stop provoking me. I'm not provoking anything. Even if you want to, he said, his voice dropping even lower. I won't allow you to continue this. She looked up at him for the first time since the dance began. You can't stop me. I can. A pause. I'm the Alpha King. She felt the tear before she could stop it. One quick line of warmth slipping from the corner of her eye before she could do anything about it. Daxton saw it. Something changed instantly in his expression. The tension in his jaw, the tightness of his grip around her wrist, all of it loosened at once, and he released her hand without another word. Thessa left the dance floor. She didn't run. She walked quickly with her eyes lowered, avoiding everyone in her path as she headed toward the side exit leading to the gardens and beyond them, the forest. Daxton stood motionless in the center of the dance floor for 1 second. She truly doesn't want me. Finn appeared beside him as if he had been waiting for exactly that moment. Go after her. She doesn't want me, Finn. The prince looked at him with an expression he rarely wore. No smile, no teasing, only the seriousness that appeared in the rare moments when he was entirely a brother and nothing else. My brother, he said. You may understand everything about this kingdom, but you understand absolutely nothing about women. A pause. Go after her. Her heart practically stopped when you walked over there. Daxton looked toward the side exit and went after her. By Ning, and the night air outside was cold. Thessa had already crossed the gardens without stopping and reached the edge of the forest when she heard footsteps behind her. Heavy, fast, unmistakable. Thessa. She didn't stop. He stepped in front of her. Not gently, directly, blocking her path with his body, both hands gripping her shoulders before she could move away. What are you doing? He demanded. If you truly don't want me, just say it. I'll let you go. I'm not going to be your affair, she said, her voice breaking more than she wanted. If you want Vanessa, then stay with her. He went completely still. What are you talking about? I saw her. Her voice trembled. I saw her enter your chambers. Thessa. Don't lie to me. I have nothing with her. His hands tightened slightly on her shoulders. You misunderstood everything. Ask the council. Ask Finn. I dismissed her that same night. You didn't see her leave because you had already gone before she came out. I don't believe you. Thessa. His voice changed. Lower. Deeper. Stripped of every layer he usually carried. Trust me. You are the only woman I want. The only woman I've ever wanted in my entire life. She broke into real tears. He pulled her against him, with those arms she had learned to recognize in the weapons room, during training, in the forest. And when his hands cupped her face and lifted it toward him, she didn't resist. He kissed her. And she kissed him back with everything she had hidden and denied and tried to bury during the past weeks. And when the kiss ended and their foreheads rested together in the dark, she was still crying. But differently now. Believe me, he whispered roughly. I already spoke with the council. I was going to claim you tonight. I still want to, if you'll let me. She stayed silent, listening. I tried explaining things to Finn, but he misunderstood everything. He assumed it was Vanessa because she'd openly shown interest, and I never said your name. A pause. I dismissed her that same night because there was nothing there. There never was. He inhaled deeply. Do you really think I agreed to teach you how to kiss out of kindness? He asked. I spent years watching you from a distance because you never showed any interest in me. Years thinking you were the most beautiful, intelligent, different woman I had ever met in my life. His voice remained steady, but something inside it hurt in a very specific way. I praised you to my own brother, Thessa. I kept searching for excuses to mention your name in conversations, as though that would somehow be enough, and you never looked at me. Only at him. Always. Only him. She remained still. And when you finally showed up in my room, it was to ask me for help winning my brother. He exhaled slowly. I should have said no. I should have sent you away. But I thought if I stayed close to you, if I taught you, maybe someday you'd finally see me. She lifted her eyes toward him. And when you kissed me like that in the library and said you wanted me, then ran from me as though nothing had happened. You have no idea what that did to me. His voice stayed controlled, but there was something inside it she had never heard before. So, when the council asked whether I already had someone in mind, I didn't hesitate. Everything I taught you wasn't for him. It was so you could become my Luna, the strongest this kingdom has ever had. She couldn't speak. Please believe me. He held her gaze in the darkness. I love you, Thessa. The silence afterward lasted only 1 second. You love me? She asked softly. Yes. Direct. No hesitation. No retreat. I love you. She closed her eyes briefly. I always thought Finn was funny, she admitted quietly. Fun, kind, easy to be around. And you were always so distant. I never knew what to think about you. I didn't want to get close too soon, he said. I wanted you to love me genuinely, not because I was always there. I didn't know you felt anything for me. I always wanted you, Thessa. Always. I was jealous every time another man came near you. I tolerated Finn only because he's my brother. But it wasn't easy. She looked at him for a long moment. I don't think I ever truly loved Finn, she said, the words carrying the weight of someone realizing something while speaking it aloud. I confused things. He always saw me as a friend, and I kept feeding an illusion for so long it became real inside my head. A pause. Until I truly fell in love with you. And when I saw Vanessa entering your chambers, I thought you were just playing with me, that I was just another woman. No. The word came instantly, firmly. Finn always tried setting me up with someone. He brought women to me, arranged introductions, created situations. I dismissed every single one of them. I kept waiting, thinking someday I'd look at someone else and feel what I felt for you. He shook his head slightly. But there is no other woman like you. There never will be. She kissed him. He kissed her back with both hands framing her face. No rush, none of the restraint he had carried for entire weeks. Come back to the ball with me, he said roughly. Marry me. Let me claim you. I can't stand being away from you anymore. She smiled against his mouth. Yes, she whispered. You're mine. I am yours, he said. I always was. And they returned together. The Conlord Aenean, they walked back through the gardens hand in hand, and when they entered through the ballroom's side entrance, Finn stood exactly where Daxton had left him. Smile back in place, arms crossed, wearing the expression of someone who had waited for their return, with a patience completely unlike him. Well, look at that, he said when he saw them. If you hadn't spoken up soon enough, brother, I might have had to claim Thessa myself. Daxton looked at him. Finn, I'm joking. The prince lifted both hands innocently. I already have my chosen one. His eyes shifted toward the center of the hall, where one of the finalists stood near the banquet tables, red hair, calm posture, wearing an expression that wasn't trying to impress anyone, and perhaps that was exactly why she did. Regina. She had passed all four trials quietly, without drama, and Finn had watched her with growing interest that only he had pretended not to notice. Then he walked toward her, without another word. What happened that night in Valdenmore had not been part of any counselor's plans when they pressured the king into finding a queen. Finn called Regina to the center of the hall, wearing the smile of a man who had never taken anything entirely seriously. But in that moment, when he tilted his head and bit her before everyone with a firmness that carried nothing playful about it, he was completely certain. The hall reacted with a murmur that quickly turned into celebration. Then the murmuring changed. Daxton walked toward Thessa. Slowly, carrying that same heavy calmness he brought into everything, crossing the entire hall with his eyes fixed on her, no hesitation left. None of the restraint he had carried through the past weeks. He stopped in front of her, lifted her chin between his fingers with that touch that was both firm and gentle at once, and looked at her the way he had learned to save for moments when no one else was watching. Except now the entire kingdom was watching. And he didn't care. Thessa lifted her neck willingly, without hesitation, without needing a single instruction, and the bite that followed was firm, solemn, irreversible. The bond rushed through both of them like something ancient, finally recognizing what it had always been meant to find, and when he pulled her back against him and kissed her before the entire court of Valdenmore, there was nothing left to explain. Now that's more like it, girl, her wolf said. Thessa nearly rolled her eyes. Look who finally decided to come back. I disappeared because you're stubborn and never let me guide you. You only like Daxton because you think he's handsome. And you think so too, her wolf teased shamelessly. Besides, you love him, you idiot. Stop ignoring your instincts. Thessa let out a tired sigh. I learned my lesson, all right? Thanks for coming back. And don't leave me alone again. I'm always here. Her wolf's voice softened. And now Daxton is too. Then, in an almost amused tone, she added, And by the way, I liked his wolf. Thessa's eyes widened. You are moving way too fast. Daxton watched Thessa for a few seconds before tilting his head slightly. I see you're having a mental argument, he said, because your expression is very clearly not here right now. Thessa blinked, startled. How do you know that? One corner of his mouth lifted slightly. Because there are abilities wolves only truly awaken when they reach complete harmony with their wolf. When they learn to balance mind, spirit, and instinct, and allow their wolf to guide them instead of fighting against it constantly. His golden gaze deepened. And you clearly weren't in balance with yours. I started suspecting it when it became obvious you were terrible at tracking, which is a fairly common wolf skill. And I became certain when I entered your mind and found almost no resistance at all. Even for an alpha, it shouldn't have been that easy. Thessa swallowed hard. When the bond between you and your wolf is strong, invading your mind isn't simple. There are natural barriers. Trust. Synchronization. The two of you had drifted apart. She stayed silent for a few moments, absorbing everything he said. Then she crossed her arms, trying to look less affected than she actually was. So, can you keep training us? Me and my wolf? Daxton stepped closer without taking his eyes off her. With absolute certainty. For the rest of our lives, if you'll allow me. Thessa's heart stumbled inside her chest when he added in a low, sincere voice, I love both of you so much.